welcome to the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and of course on the internet around the world. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. That track, titled Midnight Surfer, performed by Jerry Cole and his Spacemen. Jerry Cole used to be a member of the Champs in the late 50s and early 1960s, best known for their hit Tequila, of course. Piece of trivia you may or may not have known. The Champs consisted not just of Jerry Cole, but also of Seals and Croft. 70s pop superstars Seals and Croft were original members of the band The Champs. On the recording of Tequila, it is Seals and Croft and Jerry Cole and even Glenn Campbell. Their lineup changed several times over the course of their existence, but Seals and Croft were mainstays, as was Jerry Cole. That song, Midnight Surfer, off his Capitol Records LP, Jerry Cole and his Spacemen, Outer Limits. And the song, Midnight Surfer, a very early songwriting credit for a young songwriter at the time named Terry Jacks, Vancouver rock and roll pop superstar who went on to form the Poppy Family in the late 1960s with Susan Jacks and their big hit, Which Way You Goin', Billy. And then eventually Terry Jacks had perhaps the biggest Canadian rock hit in the history of pop music in the mid-70s with Seasons in the Sun. We had joy, we had fun, we had Seasons in the Sun. Terry Jacks, songwriting credit for that song, Midnight Surfer.
The object of my affection can change my complexion from white to rosy red. Oh, who, anytime she holds my hand and tells me that she's mine, yeah, sure, baby, poo, poo, padoop. Now there is other girls who can thrill me and some who can fill me with dreams of happiness. Zazoo, 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 but I will hang around until she says she's mine. Ring, ring, woo, skiddity, boo, boo. Now I'm not afraid she will leave me, 'cause she is not the kind who would take a dare. And I'll always trust her implicitly. She can go where she wants to go, do what she wants to do, and I won't give a hoot. For see, the object of my affection is my sweetheart, Lillian Rasmussen. On her papa's farm, I am the hired man. I help Lillian with her work, and she helps me with mine. We stop and smooch whenever we can. I scrape up the dinner dishes for Lillian, and I get rid of the table scraps as quick as a wink, 'cause her papa put in a new garbage disposal. Yeah, he keeps a pig under the kitchen sink. Then, sitting side by side, Lillian and me milk the cow together. We grab a hold and our hands touch when we commence. My Lillian is so strong and she has pulled so hard. When the milk hits the pail, it makes dents. We was milking together when I slipped our engagement ring on Lillian's finger. That is, I thought it was her finger. It felt like her finger, but I know now that for 20 minutes one night I was engaged to Genevieve, the old brown and white Jersey cow. Last Saturday, Lillian put my clothes in the washing machine with hers. And while the washing was being done, I looked through that little window in the front. And when I saw her laundry entwined with mine, oh, for me, the begin had begun. I was just so thrilled I got lumpy with goose pimples when I saw her socks dancing around with my duds. And my complexion turned rosy red, I tell you, when her bloomers jumped up and waved at me and then bashfully dove back down in the sods. Oh, the object of my affection can change my complexion from white to rosy red. Yeeves, whoop-dee-doo, anytime I see her clothes being washed with mine.
Mediterranean villa. Where's You're just about free now. She's too weak to see now. To finish her, I'll say you love her. That's how to murder your wife.
One of those jokes that you hear now and then. You don't know just where and you don't know just when. One of those jokes that are over and then you try to remember and it's gone again. It's one of those jokes that the time make you smile, that come into fashion, go out of style. It's one of those jokes that you thought you forgot, but it's one of those jokes you cannot.
You were in last night, weren't you? You were sitting over there. Yes, admit it. Where's your mother tonight? Wasn't that your mother you were with? It was just a friend. Just an older lady out for a piece of old meat. I know, I know. You three guys are laughing your old meat these days, I'll tell you. Good evening, sir. Now, let's see. You must be from a long way away, yes. We're going to be doing some material about you guys, so I hope you... I hope you take it in the good fun that it's intentionally, you know, given out, you know. We'll be picking on Ukrainians, too. And are there any Chinese people in tonight?
Yeah! Same table.
Any Indians in? Okay, we'll do some Indian stuff. I went to the doctor's today. The doctor examined me. He said, you're overweight. I said, I want a second opinion. He said, you're fucking ugly, too.
Okay.
Well, actually, no, that's why girls won't go out with me. See, they think I'm a real nutcase. They think I'm going to tie them down on the bed and dress up like Superman and jump off the top of the dresser, you know. Now, look, girls, I wouldn't do that, honest. I'd dress up like Batman and float down. If I miss, I'm not bending my dink for anybody. And in some of these hotel rooms, the springs aren't too good in the bed, and if you miss, you can be up screwing a light bulb faster than you know it. A real shocking experience. I was working in England recently, and in England, as you know, they've got a lot of graffiti on the walls over there. And since I came back to Canada, I noticed they've got a lot of graffiti on the walls over here. And I went in the can last night, and somebody had written on the wall in the gents' can, phone this number if you want some fun. So I phoned it, and my wife answered. And in England, on the safe machines in the gents' can in England, they've got the British Standard Approval, and some jerk had written underneath, so was the Titanic. Anybody in tonight over 60? All young people in tonight. Well, I like old people. My granddad's 89 years old. He went to the doctor, he said, what's that?
You ain't going to live that long either.
Oh, sure I am.
No, he's going to die of an accident.
He's going to die of an accident?
Yeah.
Is he? You going to give him one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Shit, I was just going to do my impression of an arsehole, but he did it for me, so... Anybody been to Vancouver General? I went for an operation a few months ago. I had trouble with my rear end. You know about that, don't you? When I walked in, the nurse said to me, she said, do you want to buy a raffle ticket? I said, why? She said, well, do you want a bed, don't you? So I got in there and I was lying in bed for a while, and the nurse came along and she gave me 2 enemas in the morning, 3 enemas in the afternoon, and 6 enemas in the evening. And in the middle of the night, I jumped out of bed like a startled frog and I beelined it to the can, and I was in there all night, you know. The nurses came looking for me in the morning. Mr. White, are you in there? I said, who's there, friend or an enema? And hi, girls. Do you ever stand with your arms crossed holding your tits up? Wrong size bra, eh? Okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah. There's a couple more coming in. Hi, girls. I love girls with glasses you can breathe on them. They can't see what you're doing. You're a bit thin. I'll be back shortly. Don't go away. Thank you.
There, we just heard a pretty awful low-budget comedy LP titled John A. White, Verbals to Vocals. What a horrible, low-budget vanity pressing this was. On the cover, we see John in a one-piece blue jumpsuit with the front unzipped to expose maximum chest hair. This recorded live at the Blue Boy Hotel in Vancouver. I think this record is from 1976 or 77, just judging based on the label and design. Recorded on Naughty Ash Records, and the Blue Boy was a now defunct Motor Lodge out near the airport in Vancouver. 725 Southeast Marine Drive was the address, according to the album. It no longer exists, and just some awful bar humor. Performing in a hotel lounge. Good gig for a comedian, isn't it? Before that, we heard the theme song to a very funny 1965 Jack Lemmon film titled How to Murder Your Wife. This is off the original 1965 soundtrack LP on United Artists. Music composed by Neil Hefti, the prolific film and television composer, former big band leader. Neil Hefti probably best known for composing the theme song to the TV show Batman with Adam West, How to Murder Your Wife. Before that, we heard a track by Jorgi Jorgensen, The Object of My Affection, a 45 on Capitol Records. The Object of My Affection, originally recorded August 21st, 1942. It was eventually released on this Capitol Records 45, and I think on a 78 as well, in 1953. Jorgi Jorgensen's real name was Harry Stewart, born in 1908. He had a short life, died in the year of 1956, just 3 years after Capitol Records released that novelty song.
I got no happy home now. good morning. And I'm going to see that you do have a good morning as well as a good day. If you're only half awake, there's a very good reason for it. While you've been asleep, your whole body has been asleep. Your muscles have been completely relaxed. All your body processes have been running in low gear. Well, don't shock your system. Don't jump out of bed and try to turn on the juice full power with one flip of the switch. Take a lesson from your pet cat or dog. You've seen an animal waking naturally from a sleep. It doesn't bounce right into action. It stretches and yawns and gradually wakes its whole system. That's the right way to start the day for man or beast. Lie there in bed. Treat yourself to the luxury of a few leisurely stretches and yawns. Pull your arms above your head and stretch your legs out as far as they will go. I got your day started right and kept you feeling fit. Now, let me finish the job.
Man is a gregarious animal. Gregarious. Gregarious means to be fond of the company of one's own kind. Elephants are gregarious beasts. Humanity is basically gregarious. Partygoers are especially gregarious people. The opposite of a gregarious person is a misanthrope. Misanthrope. A misanthrope does not like other people. He is said to be misanthropic. A misanthrope keeps to himself. Hermits are often misanthropes. They have a misanthropic point of view. Occasionally, a person is taken for a misanthrope who is only an introvert. Introvert. An introvert is one who is not outgoing. Introverts keep to themselves. An introvert appears to be shy. Introverts are often taciturn. Taciturn. To be taciturn is to say little. A man who seldom speaks is called taciturn. The taciturn person keeps his opinions to himself. Taciturn individuals, when they speak at all, are usually laconic. Laconic. A laconic speaker uses short words and brief sentences. Calvin Coolidge refused to talk to no purpose. He was a laconic man.
Band one. Lacquer. Exhilarate. Fraternize. Plumber. Exhaustion. Handkerchief. Band two. Pamphlet. Bouquet. 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 We'll be right back. bouquet.
From 1960, that's the DDC Spelling Aid LP from the Dictation Disc Company. I guess that's what DDC stands for. 170 Broadway, New York. Spell correctly without formal study. And the record started to skip there on the word bouquet, so I threw on a 45 called The Blue Kangaroo by The Detergents on Roulette Records, 1965. Sweet little instrumental there. Before that, we heard An Easy Way to a More Dynamic Vocabulary on Scientia Records, New York, from approximately the same period of time as the DDC Spelling Aid, 1960. Before that, we heard Hear How You Can Feel Fit All Day by Barton Horvath on Carlton Records, part of the Hear How series that Carlton put out, which included LPs like Hear How to Play Winning Bridge, Hear How to Touch Type, Hear How to Be a Better Bowler, Hear How to Plan the Perfect Dinner Party, Hear How to Improve Your Golf, Hear How to Play Better Baseball with Ralph Houk, the then manager of the Yankees, Hear How to Skin Dive with Lloyd Bridges, Hear How to Take Better Photographs, Hear How to Improve Your Etiquette, Hear How to Train Your Dog, Hear How to Improve Your Fishing, Hear How to Handle Your Boat, Hear How to Achieve Sexual Harmony in Marriage, Hear How to Tell Your Children the Facts of Life, and several others. And Barton Horvath, according to the cover of the record, is the publisher of Muscle Sculpture Magazine, here to tell you how to look your best and feel your youngest. And we started off the set with Shadows of Night, their 45 Light Bulb Blues. The flip side is Oh Yeah on Atco, a subsidiary of Atlantic Records. And they were great garage rockers in the day, and they've reissued a lot of their LPs, or maybe not a lot. I know they released one on a new vinyl pressing a couple years back, but they're not so hip looking these days. If you look up Shadows of Night on the internet, maybe Google image search them and look for the modern day photo, it's a bit disheartening.
Now I'd like to introduce a very popular group called the Grassroots. They don't have a manager, they have a gardener. But they sing great. Ladies and gentlemen, the Grassroots.
Of all the worries people seem to find, and how they're in a hurry to complicate their minds by chasing after money and dreams that can't come true. I'm glad that we are different, we've better things to do. May others plan their future, I'm busy loving you. One, two, three, four. Don't worry about tomorrow, hey.
La 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 la, live for today.
For today. We were never meant to worry the way that people do, and I don't mean to hurry as long as I'm with you. We'll take it nice and easy and use my simple plan. You'll be my loving woman, I'll be your loving man. We'll take the most from living, have pleasure while we can. Don't worry about tomorrow, hey.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la, live for today.
For today. Baby, I need to feel you inside of me. I got to feel you deep inside of me. Baby, please come close to me. To have your love, please,
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 please.
Give me some loving,
to give me some loving,
to give me some loving,
to give me some love.
Baby, give me some love,
to give me some love.
Got to have all your loving,
give me some love.
I need all your love.
don't worry about tomorrow.
Tommy, tell me one thing. What do you want to do? I want to ask you a question.
Yes, go ahead.
What do you want to do when you finally grow up?
Smack you right in the mouth.
I mean, seriously.
Well, what
after,
I like to,
after that.
What I like to do more than anything else in the world is I like to grow up to be more like anything. I like to be like my father.
Your father?
Because I admire my father more than anything in the world. I want to be just like him when I grow up.
I think it's a wonderful thing that when you grow up, you want to emulate your father.
I wouldn't do that. I like my father. When I was little, my father used to, when I was 7 years old, I remember he used to take me for walks in the park. And I'd hold his hand. I was proud to walk with my father because he was a tall man and everybody admired him. And in our town, every Sunday, people would be sitting in the park and things and they'd all holler out, "Hi there, Gort." There goes Gort Smothers, a big man. I'd be holding his hand. I'd feel
Tommy,
so proud and happy to be walking with him.
What did they say?
They say, "There goes Gort Smothers, one of the big men."
Tommy,
"Hi, Gort, how
Tommy,
are you?" I'd say,
"Hey, wait a minute.
Daddy,
you're Tommy. Your father's name is Mort."
Then who was that guy that I was walking with? Then? My old man's a sailor. What do you think about that? He wears a sailor's collar. He wears a sailor's hat. He wears a sailor's raincoat. He wears a sailor's shoes. And every Saturday evening, he reads the Sunday news. And someday, if I can, I'm gonna be a sailor, the same as my old man. My old man's an anthropologist. What do you think about that? He wears an anthropologist collar, wears an anthropologist hat. He wears an anthropologist raincoat. He wears anthropologist shoes. Every Saturday evening, he reads the anthropologist news. And someday, if I can, I'm gonna be an anthropologist, same as my old man. My old man's a refrigerator and repairman. What do you think about that? He wears a refrigerator and repairman's collar, wears a refrigerator man's hat. Wears a refrigerator and repairman's raincoat. He wears a refrigerator man's shoes. Every Saturday morning, he reads a Playboy. If I can, I'm going to be a refrigerator and repairman. Same as my old man.
American chicken plucker. What do you think about that?
The way you've been going tonight, I would suggest you try some other...
He wears a cotton-picking, finger-licking, chicken-plucker's collar. He wears a cotton-picking, finger-licking, chicken-plucker's hat. Wears a cotton-picking, finger-licking, chicken-plucker's raincoat. He wears cotton-picking, finger-licking, chicken-plucker's shoes.
What about socks? He
wears cotton-picking, finger-licking, chicken-plucker's socks.
What about a striped necktie?
Wears cotton-picking, finger-licking, chicken-plucker's striped necktie.
A little faulty there.
Yeah, it was a little faulty.
What about a bracelet?
Wears a cotton... No.
What about a bra?
What did you say?
Wasn't that important?
Now, wait a minute. You asked me a question. What did you say? Now, say it out loud. I can't...
A bra!
That's a stupid question.
Do your man wear a bra?
Why do you ask a stupid question like that? That's
Zero
ridiculous.
Zero man wears a bra!
You shut up. Tommy, just be
careful. Zero man wears a bra!
All right, he wears a cotton picking, finger licking, chicken burger's bra!
You know, man's a little weird, isn't he?
I'm gonna be a cotton-picking, finger-licking, chicken-plucker.
Why don't you be a refrigerator?
The same as my old man. And now I think it's time in the show. We like to mention that we generally run the shows in two separate parts.
We like to do the show in two parts. We like to have a first part, and then there's a second part.
We'd like to run it in that order.
Separating the two parts of the show will be an intermission type thing, for which would be around 16 minutes. So we may all get up and we may move around and stretch. And if you smoke, you may go out and smoke. 16 fun-packed minutes of smoking.
They don't have to smoke.
You don't have to smoke. If you don't want to smoke, you certainly don't have to go out and smoke. During that 16 minutes, you don't have to smoke if you don't want to smoke. Go out and drink.
They don't have to drink either.
You don't have to drink, though, if you don't want to drink.
That's right.
Or you don't have to smoke either. Or drink. Hardly enough time for anything else. Although it has been done. Any questions?
Hey.
Yeah. decided I thought I'd go see my aunt, who I hadn't seen in quite some time because I'd been living out in California. And I went up to see her. And she said, what have you been doing out in Hollywood? And I said, I've been writing for Groucho Marx. She says, with his mouth, he needs you. So she said, you wearing a mink coat? I said, that's right. She said, you know somebody in the business? I said, no, no. She said, somebody gave it to you? I said, no, I walked into a store and bought it. She says, retail? I said, that's right. She says, are you trying to tell me that a single girl walks into a retail store and buys a mink coat? And I said, yes, I did that. You know, because it's like mass rejection, paying for your own mink coat. You know? Just then, her neighbor knocked on the door. My aunt says to me, it's my neighbor, hide the coat. I gotta tell you, I wore it for about 8 or 9 years. And it's getting old. And that was the wrong word, you know. But I had to go and buy another one. It's pretty unpleasant going to bed at night thinking this one wears out and I'll have to buy another one. I had one experience. Gertrude Berg, you know, Molly Goldberg. So she has this big place up in the country, and she invited me up. So she says, I'm sending a bachelor down to pick you up, a doctor so-and-so. So I get dressed, you know, and I go downstairs, and my wife for me drives up, and I get in the car. And as we get out of my driveway, he says, let's stop and get the car washed. I said, what for? We're going to drive 3.5 hours up in the country. It'll only get dirty. He says, I want to have the car washed. Well, listen, it's his car. So we stop, and I have to get out, you know, while he has the car washed. I get back in the car, I figure, what am I doing with Mr. Clean, you know? You know, it's a 3.5 hour drive, and I make myself comfortable, and I lit a cigarette. Now, he's not watching the road, he's watching where I'm putting the ashes. So I put the cigarette out. You know, I figure you just meet somebody, you don't give them trouble. You know, that comes later. So we drive along. You know, I'm not smoking. I'm hungry. So I said, I'm hungry. So he said, all right, we'll stop at a restaurant. And I said, oh, let's not get involved with that. Just get some frankfurters, and we'll eat those. So he goes out and gets them, and he comes back, and he's standing outside of the car. He's not going to let me eat in the car. So I got out of the car and ate the frankfurters. I get back in the car. You know, I think, you know, who needs this? With this fellow, I'm going to have to give up smoking, eating, you know. So all I saw is that I was with an outpatient, you know. Yeah. And she takes me aside. She says, you know, he's a very successful doctor. And I said, really? I said, what kind of doctor is he? And she says, a psychiatrist. You know, what am I going to tell her? It's her friend. So I says, he's interesting. I can't tell her he's a nut. She arranged the date. Oh, they must have picked him up by now. back with, you know, two of the waiters that they hired. Gee, they take home a lot of stuff. You don't... Listen, I want to tell you something. A fellow wrote to me, and this fellow said that he and his friends, he had four friends, they were all single, and they were going up to the country for the weekend, and just to show that it was really legitimate, he enclosed a brochure of the place where they were going to be. So I open up the brochure, and it's Grossinger's. Grossinger's is where people like me go. Oh, so many like me. And fellas like the fella that wrote to me, and you get together. But it doesn't always work, because I went up there some time ago, and... you know, I get into my bathing suit, and I thought I'd go around the pool. That's where most of the action is. And as I'm walking towards the pool, Sure enough, Bella comes over. I figure.
Great.
So, I didn't even begin to spin the web, and I've made it, you know? So, he says to me, you know, you going to swim? And I've discovered something. Don't tell him that you can swim. So I said, no, I don't swim. He says, I'll teach you. That much I know, you know. So I said, oh, that would be delightful. And I'm looking at him, and, you know, he's not bad. We could make it. So I said, as we get towards the pool, I'm thinking that this will be all right, you know. And suddenly he turns to me, I'm so glad you showed up for the weekend. He says, I was getting so tired of the young ones. But this is what hurts. Now, wait, you know, that's bad enough. But at that time, I was 26 for the first time.
Voice of the great Selma Diamond, a prolific comedy writer from back in the days of old-time radio when she worked for people like Ed Gardner and Abe Burrows on Duffy's Tavern. She had quite a varied career as a comedy writer. She wrote for Milton Berle, for Groucho Marx, a lot of the great comedians, and she eventually became a hit in her own right as a personality on the talk show circuit. First and foremost on the Jack Parr Show, and later on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and also on the Mike Douglas Show. And this record we heard from is all audio off of appearances of hers on the Jack Parr Show. It's titled Selma Diamond Talks. And it, too, is on the Carlton Records label, the label that I mentioned earlier in the show that was responsible for the Hear How series and Hear How You Can Feel Fit All Day with Barton Horvath. Selma Diamond became well-known to an entirely different generation later on as the short bailiff on the sitcom Night Court. Before that, we heard Night Owl, a great 1968 Atlanta Records single, Some Hard Soul, from Wilson Pickett. Prior to that, it was, of course, one of the greatest comedy teams of all time, the Smothers Brothers, Dick and Tom, off one of their latter-day LPs, the Smothers Brothers Golden Greats, Volume 2, on Mercury Records. Before that, Dracula's Greatest Hits was the name of the LP, in which we heard Dracula sing I Want to Hold Your Hand, but with his take on it, I Want to Bite Your Hand, with the voice of Gene Moss as Dracula. Gene Moss was the head writer of the fondly remembered cartoon Roger Ramjet, starring Gary Owens, and he was also the voice of Smokey the Bear in all the old Smokey the Bear, in all the old animated Smokey the Bear PSAs. And in fact, you can hear Gene Moss in action in Roger Ramjet, stuff that he's written and voice work that he's done in Smokey the Bear on one of my websites, saturdaymorn.blogspot.com, all devoted to ancient Saturday morning cartoons, animated commercials, and various interesting animation of yesteryear. That's saturdaymorn.blogspot.com. Check it out. Devoted to classic cartoons. At the start of this set, it was the Grassroots with Live for Today, as introduced by Jimmy Durante, Unlikely Bedfellows. And I should remind all listeners right now that if you are interested in corresponding with the Generation Exploitation Podcast, you can email me at generationexploit@yahoo.com. Also, check out the website generationexploitation.blogspot.com. Also, as just mentioned, the saturdaymorn.blogspot.com, devoted to old cartoons, and another site devoted to old-timey classic television showbiz, the Classic Television Showbiz blog, which you can find at classicshowbiz, with a Z or Z, S-H-O-W-B-I-Z, .blogspot.com, classicshowbiz.blogspot.com.
The legend you are about to hear is true. Only the needle should be changed to protect the record.
This is the countryside. My name is St. George. I'm a knight. Saturday, July 10th, 8:05 p.m. I was working out of the castle on the night watch when a call came in from the chief. A dragon had been devouring maidens. Homicide. My job. Slay him. call me, Chief?
Yeah, it's the dragon again, devouring maidens. The king's daughter may be next.
Mm-hmm. You got a lead?
Nothing much to go on. Said you take that .45 automatic into the lab to have them check on it?
Yeah. You were right.
I was right?
Yeah. It was a gun. 8:22 p.m. I talked to one of the maidens who had almost been devoured. Could I talk to you, ma'am?
Who are you?
I'm St. George, ma'am. Homicide, ma'am. I want to ask you a few questions, ma'am. I understand you were almost devoured by the man. Is that right, dragon?
It was terrible. He breathed fire on me. He baned me already.
How can I be sure of that, ma'am?
Believe me, I got it straight from the dragon's mouth.
11:45 p.m. I rode over the King's Highway. I saw a man. Stopped to talk to him. Pardon me, sir. Could I talk to you for just a minute, sir?
Sure, I don't mind.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a knave.
Didn't they pick you up on a 903 last year for stealing tarts?
Yeah? So what, do you want to make a federal case out of it?
No, sir. We heard there was a dragon operating in this neighborhood. We just want to know if you've seen him.
Sure, I've seen him.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe him for me?
What's to describe? You see one dragon, you've seen them all.
Would you try and remember, sir, just for the record? We just want to get the facts, sir.
Well, he was, you know, he had orange polka dots.
Yes, sir.
Purple feet, breathing fire and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And one big bloodshot eye right in the middle of his forehead, and, like that.
Notice anything unusual about him?
No, he's just a run-the-mill dragon, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, you can go now.
Hey, by the way, how are you going to catch him?
I thought you'd never ask. A dragon net. 3:05 p.m. I was riding back into the courtyard to make my report to the lab. Then it happened. It was a dragon.
Hey, I'm the fire-breathing dragon. You must be St. George, right?
Yes, sir.
I see you got one of them new .45 caliber swords.
That's about the size of it.
You slay me.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
What do you mean?
I'm taking in a 502. You figure it out.
What's the charge?
Devouring maidens out of season.
Out of season? You never pinned that rap on me. Do you hear me, cop?
Yeah, I hear you. I got you in a 412, too.
A 412? What's a 412?
Overacting. Let's go.
On September the 5th, the dragon was tried and convicted. His fire was put out, and his maiden devouring license revoked. Maiden devouring out of season is punishable by a term of not less than 50 or more than 300 years.
You ever rent a movie that was released a while ago and you enjoy it, but there's kind of that awkwardness because you can't talk about it with anyone? You're like, hey, I just saw Heat. Heat, I saw that 6 years ago. I want to talk about it now. No, loser. You ever talk about a movie with someone that read the book? They're always so condescending. The book was much better than the movie. Oh, really? What I enjoyed about the movie? No reading. It only took 2 hours, and then I could take a nap. I'm too lazy. You ever read an article, and at the bottom it says, continued on page 6? I'm like, not for me. I'm done. Why don't you stop bossing me around? Then I finally get to page 6. I can't even remember what I was reading. You ever read the ending to a different article? Al Gore is running from a waterfall? You ever read a book that changed your life? Me neither. I don't have the attentions, but every now and then I'll read a book. I'll be so proud of myself. I'll try and squeeze it into conversation. People are like, hey, Jim, how you doing? I read a book! 250 pages. That's great. What was it about? No idea. Took me 2 years. You ever buy a book and not read it? You feel almost guilty having it on a bookshelf, don't you? People are like, hey, how was that book? I haven't read it. Did you just buy it? I've had it since high school. Well, can I borrow it? No.